Welcome to this edition of the Redemption University podcast. My name is Jason Court, and I'm Marketing Director at Redemption Plus. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Jim Chapman of Family Fun Companies. Jim started his coin-operated amusement career in 1987 and is currently responsible for sales and marketing of Family Fun Companies' Redemption line of games. He also spends quite a bit of time providing marketing advice for Enchanted Castle, located in the Chicago area. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Happy to be a part of the opportunity.
You bet. I know you have a passion for family entertainment center promotions and marketing. What are some great marketing examples that you've seen out there in the field recently?
Boy, there are a bundle of them, Jason. You know, the cranes have come a long way with putting in iPads and hard goods, the electronics, the MP3s, the MP4s. We have guys putting in rolls of tickets into their cranes. I see people buying the round six-player cranes and putting MP3s, MP4s, and the iTouches in it. We're seeing a lot more people do promotions on their pushers, be it putting MP3s, MP4s, 5,000-ticket medallions, and things like that have really, really worked well for people in their games. Now, other promotions, something that we do in our own parks, because we own three parks, is we'll get on a loudspeaker and say, attention, 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 anyone who has 4 sevens on a dollar bill wins 500 tickets, and the place goes crazy. Guys are doing trivia questions. I was in one place up here at Badger Sports, and I was helping them with it, and they did a trivia. They said, how many floors are in a particular building? Boom, people knew the number. They come running over, and they got a prize. It's bringing back that excitement. So if you can do anything with promoting on tickets, like there's one promotion that we do is if you have sevens in the actual number on the ticket, you'll win an extra ticket. 2 sevens, you'll win 10 tickets. 3 sevens, you'll win 100 tickets. 4 sevens, you'll win 1,000 tickets. You'd be surprised how much more money people will put in if they're getting close to that number.
Quick question on those pusher games and putting MP3 players. I know many state legislatures have kind of come down on pusher games. For example, Kansas actually put a ban on them in family entertainment centers, and I'm just curious to get your take on that. I know various states have different legislation on what you can put in a coin-op game and what you can't.
Very true. You know, we see some problems, like in California. People were going way overboard. You know, they're running coin in, coin out, which is you can't do anyway. That's gambling. But then they're adding to that a $100 bill or a huge prize, and you know, you're taking it way over. But for us and our FECs, we can do that provided it's a good piece of product and it's not way overboard. You know, we'll do, and we design some plastic pieces that we're going to probably put out in the market very soon with 5,000 tickets, or a puzzle piece where you have to collect both pieces and they win a good prize. If you do it with a good conscience and you do it the right way, you're really not going to run into too many problems. I also see problems with states with casinos. Up here in Wisconsin, they're a little different. It's the Indians that have the casinos. So if you stay within reason, you won't upset them. I mean, there's so much money for states with these gambling places that you just got to kind of tread lightly and just do the right thing.
Yeah, well, you mentioned MP3 players, iPod touches. Are there any other hot redemption toys or merchandise that you see out there today?
Oh, there's some great things out there right now. You have the Silly Bands that you can put in capsules. There's different redemption places that have those. You have Chinese erasers that are just right around the corner right now, and these erasers are pretty cool. I got them from my son at school, and they come apart. It might be a cell phone, it might be a car, or whatever, but they're cute little things that we would never even think of, but all of a sudden, boom, they take off. The iPad, huge, and there's so many ways you can use it in your merchandisers, in your crane, as a giveaway. You know, we're really going away from plush. Plush still has a portion of the part business, but these hard goods and all the new toys coming out, and with all those new toys being electronics, you go to, and you really market to mom and dad, you market to the kids, you market to grandma and grandpa. It's amazing what these things can do for people.
I know you travel a lot around the United States and meet lots of owners and operators. What's the biggest mistake that most family entertainment centers or bowling centers make in running their game room?
It's really not following the magic potion. And that's something that we've preached, Rich and I, for 4 years. And it's what Rich uses in his parks. There's five elements that you really need. You gotta have the right game mix. You gotta have the right prizes in your redemption counter. You have to have the right payout, so you're paying out enough tickets for the people who see value. You gotta provide good service for people. Gone are the days of people saying thank you. I mean, even look at Walmart. The greeter just stands there now. You know, the real, I thank you, I appreciate your business, are you having fun? That touch is really, really important. And most people fall down on the technical end of the business. They just don't have their games running right. And that's just so important. And you need all five of those things working equally together, just like a wheel. It's all got to work together. When you do that, your numbers will explode.
It's interesting. We recently had Jeremy White, who's the editor of Pizza Today, on, and he also, who's not a game expert, said one of the biggest mistakes was that maintenance is just a huge deal, and people don't invest the time and money in it, and it really results in a horrible customer experience in the end.
Well, think about it. If you brought your family in, and your son or daughter put money in and the game didn't work, you'd be a little upset. Or if your child hit a 1,000-point jackpot and only got 20 tickets. I mean, that's just not right. You know, people work hard for their money, and we look at it every day that we're lucky to have these people coming back. We've earned their business. Don't give that away. And I look at it myself. I'll always go to a place when somebody says, hi, thank you, I appreciate your business.
Absolutely. It's the difference between a magic and a tragic moment.
So important. I mean, I walk through places and people don't even greet me. And they know I'm coming in to look at their place. And then finally the owner comes out. Or owners that aren't involved. You know, they let everybody else do it. You know, that handshake, that involvement keeps everything rolling. I mean, when Rich is in his parks, they know he's in his parks. And everybody steps up.
So, obviously, Enchanted Castle is a fantastic operation. I'm curious, who else do you think is running a really top-notch FEC operation and why?
There's some great guys out there. There's a couple Gaddylands that are doing it right. Dave Lawrence from Incredible Dave's is ready to open up his second location. And you see George Smith in the water parks. And there's certain guys out there that are just, as they say, getting it. They're getting involved in their businesses, they enjoy what they do, and they're willing to learn. You know, there's guys out there, and I know Rich and I speak a lot, and there's a couple others, but there's so many more people out there that know what they're doing that they really need to share that information. And we spoke earlier about the roller skating industry. There's a core group of guys that keep waving that corporate flag, so to speak, and helping people. And it's amazing if you just help people how much longer and farther it can go. And people that are looking, I really like the people that really get involved with their prizes. If they make their counters look like a retail store, their numbers double. And that's what George Smith does. That's what Ken Swader, that's what the guys at Gaddy's and some of the Gaddy's, they're doing phenomenal jobs out there.
Absolutely. We recently did a webinar on the ticketless game room concept, and I'm just curious to kind of get your take on tickets versus ticketless game room.
For us, and from my opinion, it's always tickets. And, you know, I know people like to go green and they want to save money and they don't want ticket jams, but those are all the reasons why you really want tickets. You want tickets, one, to make sure that everybody in that park or that location knows that people can win. There's nothing better than mom looking over and seeing somebody hit a jackpot and all these tickets are coming out. And then you'll see, like in our parks, and I know it happens to others, they wrap themselves up in the tickets. And it's all about the experience. And I know that when my son comes into our parks, and he's only 7, when he sees kids winning, he gets excited. And you don't get that in a ticketless system. You don't know if somebody's really hitting jackpots. You also don't know if it's really on that card. You know, there's still a portion of people in this market say, I don't know if I got all my tickets or not. Or people come up and say, well, how many tickets do I have on my card? Oh, no, my son or daughter had more than that. And we never want to run into that. Also, we can do so many more promotions using tickets. I had a gentleman that I was working with in Gaddy's. He's like, I'm not getting anyone coming back in. You know, they'll go through my drive-thru, but they're not really coming into my game room. I said, put 100 tickets on that box. When you put it out that window and say, sir, when you come back, use those 100 tickets. His numbers jumped up 14% just on that little deal. So I think tickets are very, very important. Card swipe systems are great, but don't go ticketless in my view.
Yeah, that's great. That's good take. Also, kind of on that notion, do you feel there's an optimal mix between redemption and video games? Do you have a specific number that you work off of?
Well, not really a certain number. What we found is video is taking smaller and smaller and smaller dollars in on our green room. We probably have of 145, 150 games in Enchanted Castle, maybe there's 12 video, if that. What we found is with redemption, you can't do it at home. Video, you can play on the Wii, you can play PSP, you got, my son just got a DSL, the XL, you know, now he's got two versions. You can play that at home, you can play it on your own phone, but you can't play Redemption. And then again, the Redemption, when those tickets come out and they come back to the counter, that's where your value is, that's where your touch is to your customers. And I would say if you're running them right as a number, not a hard and fast number, but 80% has to be Redemption. If you really want to maximize your game room.
Sure. When and being a game person, and what when somebody's choosing a game or you're choosing a game for your facilities, what are the criteria that, you feel make a great redemption game?
What makes a great redemption game is a couple things. It's got to be fun to play, and it has to be easy to understand. So if the player can understand between the from when the first coin or second coin, you can hook them in. It's got to work. Now, so many times we get games coming out of the box and they're not working, or they need update chips, and it's tough. We run through as manufacturers too. We're always trying to update to make it the best, but at one point you got to make sure your games work right. And we look at what the income is, but we also look at, and it's something a lot of people miss, they all want to buy, oh, what game's making me the most money? You have to look to see what your game mix is. And that goes back to the magic potion. If you look at your game mix, you need stuff, need games for the younger kids. If they're entertained and the parents are playing with them, their older kids are going to stay longer. We look at how many kiddie games do we need, how many basketballs or interactive games like that. You have to look at the number of quick coin games. A lot of people say, well, you know, I have one pusher, that's enough. No, you need two or three. We run four, five, six, depending on the size of our park. So you have to look there. You have to look at your merchandisers and your cranes. So many people aren't doing cranes in their game rooms. You know, they have one or two. They need five, six, seven of them. Because with the cranes, you can market to every aspect of your customer base. Kids, girls, tweens, teenage boys, teenage girls, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. Those are the things that people are missing. They're not doing the whole mix. They'll buy one or two hot games, and they're not really taking care of the rest of their whole mix of games.
Absolutely. And I have to ask this final question. As you think of the world of redemption games, what is your favorite game?
Well, you know, it's twofold. I love a good pusher. As a owner, as owners of locations, I love pushers. They make the most money. But I also love cranes because they can give us so much more variety. So I'd have to say the best one that I've probably played recently, outside of our two pushers, would be the six-player crane that Coast to Coast has. It is so bright. It is so cool. And you fill those with MP3s, MP4s, and the touches. It's just a cool, cool marketing tool.
That's great. Well, Jim, thanks for really helping to educate us today and helping the industry in this and taking time out of your schedule.
We're happy to do it, happy to help anybody that wants to call us or stop by our parks. We'd love to help them out any way we possibly can.
Great. This concludes this edition of the Redemption University podcast. A copy of this podcast can be found at redemptionuniversity.com, and you can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.